our growth in Christ and how that we are to dwell in Him. That means that's a habitation, that is to habitate with and in Him, trusting Him in all things. And the Word of God is our standard by which we have to live. We have to go by the Word of God in our life. We have to make up the decisions that we make in our life based on God's Word. That's the only way to be pleasing to Him. That's what Jesus did, and we are to follow Him. He came to do the will of His Father. We are here to do the will of our Father. All right, this morning we're going to be in Titus, right before the book of Philemon, in chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Now I'll read a few preceding verses, but we're going to be mainly in verse 7 and 8 this morning. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. And of course, this is Paul writing to Titus, and he's directing him, instructing him on how to teach and how to preach the people there. Verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers or different lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemas unto thee, Antiochus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. All right. What we're going to look at this morning is good works by faith. Good works by faith. Verse 4 in Titus chapter 3, we read, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us. According to His mercy. So again, we will reiterate, we will express again that salvation is of grace. God, according to His mercy, saved us. Because He loved us anyway. Because He loved us anyway. He knew how we were. And Paul just described it to Titus here in the first few verses. Being disobedient and foolish and serving all these different lusts and pleasures, hateful and hating one another and all of that. God knew how we were by nature. He created us. He allowed, if you will, Adam and Eve to fall in the Garden of Eden. He is the one that put this curse on mankind because of them. And we looked at some of that last week in Genesis. According to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, verse 7 says that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. All right, well, how did we come to believe in God? Well, by God's mercy, He washed us by the washing of regeneration. He gave us a new heart, didn't He? He quickened us. He made us alive. All right, by His mercy, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. As we have seen, we were in a terrible state. There was no hope for us except for the one Savior who qualified to pay the price. That was the only way for man to reach his hand and take hold of the tree of life. Remember, we talked about that in the Garden of Eden, that the Lord put cherubims and swords to protect the way of the tree of life. So man could no longer just reach out to God. But He has shed the Holy Ghost on us in the washing of regeneration through His Son, Jesus Christ. He not only qualified to pay for our sins, but He did give His life to pay for our sins. All right. Verse 8 said, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. This sounds like something pretty important, doesn't it? Constantly reaffirm this. Constantly talk about this. Constantly tell them about this. Constantly discuss this. That sounds very important, doesn't it? Well, what is this? Well, the previous verse tells us that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's it. That's what we should constantly affirm in our own minds and hearts and to each other. That we are justified by His grace. That we stand before God justified because of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that He's made. And that we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. When He justified us, He made us in the eyes of God. And that's what matters, isn't it? It is. What God sees is what matters. He justified us so that in the eyes of God, we have never sinned. That's pretty awesome. I look back on my life and the sins that I know that I've committed against God and others and myself, to know that God sees me through the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ and sees me as having never sinned. That's pretty humbling. That's pretty humbling to know that I am an heir. You are an heir and a joint heir with Christ, with the Son of God. That's a free gift. It was by grace. This is what he wants us to constantly affirm, that we are justified by his grace and that we are made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Can you get a grasp on that this morning? You're going to live forever in peace and in the love of God, praising him and worshiping him and serving him without any sin hindering you every day. That should make our hearts leap in joy. He did that for you. Jesus Christ bought that eternal life for you and for me. Oh, that we would continually dwell on that. And what will happen if we do? What's this promise in God's word to us? Verse 8, he says, this is a faithful saying. And when he says that, he's saying this is based on the rock. This saying is based on the merits, the works, the good works of Jesus Christ. A faithful saying. One that you can trust in, you can believe in, you can stand on this. This is a faithful saying, and these things, what things? We just read it. That we are justified by his grace, made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Again, think about the fact that Jesus Christ has paid the price for your eternal peace, your eternal life. We didn't deserve it, no. It's by grace. He paid the price. Think about this. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. So how do we perform, to begin with, good works? How do we do it? That's the design of our life, isn't it? It is. That we would bring forth fruit. How do we do that? Good works only come, only flow through faith. That's it. Only through faith. In other words, only in believing. Paul said that they which had believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Again, good works only come from faith. This spiritual life that we have came from faith. Those who do not have this spiritual life are missing one thing. Of course, that one thing brings multitude of blessings, but that one thing is faith. John 3:16 tells us, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Same account. It's still Jesus Christ and God giving him to pay the price for our sins. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, that's the other path, but should be on the path we're on, if we believe in him, everlasting life. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So it's the faith that is missing. It is the faith given by God, authored by Jesus Christ, that allows us and enables us to do and maintain good works. Romans chapter 14. And of course, again, this is Paul speaking to those at Rome. And he's talking about the duty of self-sacrifice here in these last few verses of chapter 14 in Romans. And he's talking about what to eat, what not to eat. Verse 19, he says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroyed not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. And he asks the question, hast thou faith? have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We've heard the question lately about natural man being able to do good works. Well, we know some good people, a lot of good people, and a lot of people who do a lot of good things, a lot of good works here on earth. And they are able to do good works, going by the standard of man. That's the cutoff point. That's the difference, you see. In man's economy, in man's thought processes, yes, we do a lot of good things. And man can do a lot of good things. There are a lot of people who feed the hungry. And that's something that we're supposed to do. There are a lot of people who house the homeless. And that's something that we ought to do. And it's a good thing. But it's a good thing by man's standards. By man's standards. Good works, by God's standards, are only done in faith and by the power of God through that faith. This is faith is not something that we come up with. No, it's something that God gave us. It's this gift. When He washed us in regeneration. When He made us alive. When He broke down the barrier between us and God. And now, in faith, we are able to do good works. We just read that He said, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Well, how is it that a good work, even in the, let's say, in the eyes of man or by man's standard, is sin? Because it's actually doing good. It's helping somebody. It's providing for somebody that's in need. The problem is the motive. The motive comes from the heart. Many good works are done for credit, for feeling, to feel better about ourselves and to be a better person, man's standard again. Going by man's standard. And we all want to do that. We want to help. We have a desire to do good to others and to love others and to see that others are cared for that are in need. And if this is done by faith, it is a good work. How so? Because all the glory goes to God and not to us. You see the difference there? I have known people who were extremely puffed up in pride. I've been one of them. And the things that I did that caused me to think so highly of myself were done with that motive. So you see, the difference is how it comes from the heart, the motive, the desire. Whether or not it is done in faith. Good works only come from faith. Only from faith. Only a spiritual person, that's somebody who's alive, somebody who's saved, somebody who has the Spirit of God dwelling within them, is able to do truly, in God's standards, good works. To be pleasing to God. You know, we've said many times that God thundered from heaven in an audible voice about Jesus Christ, saying and implying that He was the only one that He's pleased with. That's why so much of the time in Scripture we're instructed to dwell in Jesus Christ. That means depend only on Him. Live by His standard. That they which have believed in God, that's those who have faith. That's those who are spiritually alive. All right, let's look at Hebrews Hebrews chapter 11. You're familiar with this? It's the faith chapter, as it's been called. And verse 6. Do spiritually good works please God? They do. These good works that we are enabled to do by the faith that dwells within us are in God's plan for us. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So what's the necessary ingredient, the must-have ingredient to please God? To do good works. To maintain good works, even. It is faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. We must believe and trust and obey Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So you see, Paul is teaching Titus to teach others to constantly affirm that they have been justified by His grace and made heirs according to the hope of eternal life, so that they might be careful to maintain good works. We must be careful to maintain good works. We must study to stay constant in the desire of good works. We're going to see that before we had faith, we were corrupt. Even our hearts were enmity against God. We're going to continue this in our second service. We're also going to see that good and the ability to do good works came after we received faith. Good works only come from faith in God. There's no other way to please Him. We must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him.